Praise the Lord, all you saints. Shalom to everyone, and may peace follow you as according to the promise of the Almighty God. The seed of faith that the Creator has implanted within the human spirit, it will grow to have its desired effect in Jesus' name, and we are ever grateful for it. This is Brother Ryan from the House of Worship at Pine Creek Independent Church, and I'm glad to be here with you by voice, in order to exhort, edify, and encourage those who seek righteousness that can only come by the word of grace that we are given by revelation of what has been inspired and written of long ago in terms of our years, but is only a moment before in God's sight. Time is relative, and the Bible knows this, as written in the prayer song of Moses at Psalms 90, where it's recorded, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Approximately 1,400 years later, Peter will deliver the same thought, 2 Peter 3:8, by saying, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. Through the double witness doctrine of two or three scriptural witnesses, we come to greater understandings. And for the time we have this week, I'd like to speak on these thoughts out of Psalms 139. That'll be our subject matter for this week. Psalms 139, part one. It's one of King David's songs. And I've often made the statement that I think the 139th Psalm is possibly the most beautiful and poetic of all the Psalms, but that, of course, is debatable. They are together a testimony of God's attributes and glory, and to speak of even one of them is to glorify them all. Certainly Psalm 16, which foreshadows the rising up of Christ, and speaks to us that neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, or Psalms 22, which paints the portrait of the crucifixion day, when fully come to pass in Christ. Those are highlights of prophetic foresight. Psalms 119 is often looked upon as the greatest psalm. Psalms 23, it gets you through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalms 110 is the most quoted psalm of the New Testament. And Psalms 29 contains the foundation for the voices of God to sound. So which one speaks to you on the deepest level? And why? Well, we have many needs that are answered to in the Psalms. Every scripture speaks to other scriptures in their voice of prophetic, doctrinal, and historic truth, as this is a line upon line, precept joined to precept gospel. Here a little, there a little, as we build up the house of our faith by seeking that which comes from above. There's a divine will at work, by which we thank God for, and by the searching out and comparing of what is written, we come to the great matters and the answers of the Word. As we're still learning, I know I am, I haven't come to the end of it yet, nor do I think I will in this life. But the fullness of the vision is set before us, a mark that we press toward in Jesus' name. For the here and now we know in part, we prophesy in part, but I thank God that one day our understanding will be complete, and then we shall see him as he is, as stated in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Until then, I believe Psalms 139 has a special role to play in our understanding and in our spiritual development, in its depth of thought and its beauty, and blessed partnership with each and every other verse contained in the book. In the year past, I was privileged to contribute some thoughts on Jesus in the Psalms to the devotionals as to how the life of the Master, Messiah, was found in the lines of these worship songs that we read now as scriptures. Of course, we adapt them to our own music by their inspirations. So the Psalms are very precious to me, as they are to every one of us, and the life of Christ is found in there. And when we come to Psalms 139, verse 17 of this same chapter, David will express himself in that very way by exclaiming, How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. And I think I know how he felt, at least on some level, as one takes in the scope of what is expressed here. I'm certainly not a king, but the word is meant to relate to every person on a very deep level, as that depth gets revealed through the ages. And there's always a deeper level of knowledge. It's built right into the scriptures, and it's our honor to seek these things out. And those that care about these issues more are without the doubt that they'll be the ones who will receive of their promise. So even though David will transgress, he'll stumble along the way in the matter of Bathsheba and the numbering of Israel, he was a man of repentance and had cause to be grateful for the Lord's mercy, which endures forever. And that shows in his life and writings. It'll be evident here. And despite the chastening rod, God made his covenant and displayed his sure mercies toward David. And those things will be reflected in the verses we're about to read. So from Psalms 139 and from the first verse, as the attributes and characteristics of the great I Am are reflected in these praises, shows the divine nature of the one who will say in St. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And each glory to glory, everlasting to everlasting phrase denotes the spirit of truth that God is. And where can you get to away from God's truth? Where can you go to get away from that? It's present wherever you go. Because when you worship God, you are literally worshiping truth itself. And we'll see more of that in the scripture as we go through them one by one. As God is the living, thoughtful, expressive, actual truth, the very soul of it. When Pilate asked of Jesus, what is truth? Truth was standing right there in front of him. And here follows King David's leadings on the subject of who God is and what he does from Psalms 139, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. As the King James Version of the English language, it lends such beauty to what is spoken, but it's the faith held within, which is always the most important part. I use the King James as my pulpit Bible, but I compare it with other versions to get a good cross-section of meaning, and I hope certainly that whatever Bible you read in your native language or in the English uplifts you in the same way, that the Bible was meant to be translated into other languages so that all could partake of the waters of life freely. I think that's evident because the New Testament itself is a translation, for Jesus spoke in the Hebrew Aramaic tongue himself, not in the Greek that the Gospels and Epistles are written in. So that considered, these outpourings of David's spirit reach out to us across the ages with a like-minded faith that binds us to these ancient peoples. Now, times change, certainly. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, but the faith of God will never change. It's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're not complete without them, our ancient brethren, who were keepers of the word that's now committed to us and on down the line to as many generations as the Lord will call to life. So here in the opening statement, we find that our God is a God who wants to get to know us on a very deep and on a very personal level. You have searched me and known me, which means that I'm part of the plan as an inheritor of the kingdom that is to come. Because God created mankind in the first place for two very basic reasons, reasons that those of us who are parents understand. He wanted to be a father of and to many children, bring forth life, and then to show them greater love, which he did at Calvary. Those traits were within the makeup of the Almighty God before the worlds were framed. In point of fact, those are the reasons that the worlds were framed at all. And that places us in the center of the Creator's designs. As Earth is not the physical center of our galaxy or solar system, but God put his love here upon us and gave us life, which makes us the spiritual center of the universe. He committed his word here, and here's where the greatest battle is fought prophetically. So we find that God's purpose is here. And in future ages to come, who knows of what eye has yet to see or ear to hear, of whatever yet has even to enter the heart of man, of all God has prepared for those that love him. But right here and right now, this is where the battle is fought, and his purpose is here. And the rest of it, the Spirit of God will reveal that as according to his timing and his will. And it will be done for his glory and for our benefit. But here we're presented with the all-knowing aspect of the Ancient of Days, the Alpha Omega of our existence and time, but who dwells outside the boundaries of space, time, and matter as the Eternal One. And truly, as his eye is upon even the sparrow, as it is upon us, as David knows it is upon him, God blesses us with this knowledge. For you were aware when I get up or when I lay down. For God is an omnipresent spirit. In thinking about God and considering all things, you just have to put away all notion of distance, for he is in our midst, as well as in the far-flung reaches of creation. And all ideas of limitations, they're gone in Christ. We don't limit the Holy One of Israel. What was the fault of the Exodus generation there? As they wandered through the wilderness, they limited the Holy One of Israel, from Psalms 78 and verse 41, asking, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Well, yes, he can. And yes, he did. Impossibilities, they just don't exist with the Holy One of Israel. And from the Genesis 1:1 beginning, God works miracles, as when he created the heavens and the earth. And if he can do that, then what is it that is too hard for the Lord? And as to our thoughts and knowing our thoughts, we have machines that can detect lies by examining physical changes. Well, God just doesn't need the machine. He can read you like a book. So if thou understandest my thought afar off, we shouldn't be too surprised, for it's written in the scripture. Now, that should inspire us to confidence that God knows all things, as well as to instill a little honest fear of the Lord within, certainly. As the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that's good. God even anticipates thoughts, such as when he warned Judas Iscariot repeatedly so as to turn him aside from the pathway that he had taken, by such statements as, ye are clean, but not all, in St. John 13:10, which was an appeal to Judas's conscience and a warning, and by quoting Psalms 41:9, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And at any time, Judas could have chosen to turn aside from betrayal. That shows the all-knowing part of God's nature. But as in the case of Judas, foreseeing the eventuality, prophecy was fulfilled. However, knowledge of an event does not cause the event to happen. Judas had a choice. He made it. God foresaw it and acted accordingly, and thus Scripture came to pass. But that aside, back to the hope we all share in Psalms 139, verses 3 and 4, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Once more, we look into the fact that there is a life that contains all other forms of life inside of it, for in him we live, move, and have our being. As Paul said upon Mars Hill in Athens in Acts chapter 17, So the future, the present, and the past are all open to the eyes of He who was and is to come. That being ever true, what other wonders are there to behold here for David? At this time, there's so much to come yet. There are still the works of the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel to be written, as well as that of the minor prophets that lead to a birth in Bethlehem and the writing of the Gospels and the Epistles and the book of Revelation, finally. But God still knows. He sees and reveals to us by His will. And that's the beauty of Psalms 139. He knows us. He knew Jeremiah before he was formed in the belly, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. So if the Lord takes the initiative and the time to know us, then should we not get to know Him through what is conceived and inspired of and written? Of course, there can only be one answer to that. Even as there can only be one source of truth, even as there can only be one God. And God has magnified His truth. He's magnified His word above all His name of reputation. He's even greater than we know, but we're learning. We're seeking and we're finding, and that's the encouragement. We're on course to greater revelations in the faith of Jesus. And tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll share more faith together. Till then, may the light of His presence be with you all. Amen.